You are listening to The Warehouse, a speaking of show by WFSU. Things that are meant to be enjoyed for a short period of time are classified as ephemeral. And with most comic books being made of paper and ink, without care, they don't last long. But these days, many collectors prioritize the protection of the things they collect rather than the enjoyment of them, keeping their comic books encased in plastic where they cannot be read. Josh Johnson is sitting down with Ned Stacy, a local legend in the comic book arena, to learn more about collectors, comics, and ephemera.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and today, like always, we have an incredible guest. I am being joined with the Cosmic Cat himself, Ned Stacy, a fixture of this community in so many different ways for so long. Ned, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
So, Ned, today, while for people who are familiar with the Cosmic Cat and for people who aren't, it is our local legendary comic book shop. And it's been other things, too, but most people my age know it as a comic book shop. And I want to have a conversation with you today about all things comics, obviously. But my first question is a particular one. And I think that a person who was in the business that you were in is probably at the highest, or at least just as much of the highest authority to answer that question. And the question is, as we enter ephemera and the age of permanence, and what I mean by that is things that don't always last too long, having to compete with things that last forever, like the internet or film or whatever, how does it feel to see these different cultural forms either having to adjust or to die out?
Well, it's in a way very disappointing because I grew up in, I was born in the late 50s, and collecting items was big. I mean, little figurines, Hummel figures, you know, Swarovski figures, plates that you hung on your wall, Disney stuff,
sure,
were really big. Comic books at the time, though, were not per se collectible. You basically bought them, read them, maybe then either threw them away, folded them in half, gave them to a neighbor. For myself, I remember actually standing on the corner with my table selling my old comics for 10 cents each. I was probably like 8 years old at the time, so I'd be like early 60s.
Uh-huh.
And now I look back as to what the value on those comic books were, because they were the old horror comics, and those are worth like thousands now, and you know.
You brought up an excellent point that's a perfect segue to my next question. Did I cut you off, Nick?
No.
Oh, okay. My next question was going to be, quite literally, the word collectible. It used to be such a thing or a to-do, and people aren't collecting anymore either. What do you attribute that to?
Well, no one collects anymore because it's almost because of today's society. Mm-hmm. I sort of question whether it's the same thing in other countries, because you grow up, everything's on the internet now or on your phone. And I think it's almost like people are spending so much time on their phone, they don't have time to collect. Or if they like it, they just throw it away. It's amazing what you see your neighbors who are younger throwing away in their garbage.
Mm.
It's like, I would never throw away that ladder. I'd never throw away that. But they do. It's a throwaway society.
We've lost the patience to enjoy anything further than it interests us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And collectibles now are not based on you want to collect something. It's what you can collect and sell later at a higher price.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. My brother was the collector in the family, my brother and my dad. I mean, in my parents' garage, we still got one of Joey's old coin collections and baseball cards and football cards. To be honest, him and his friends that collected, that stuff has really just become boxed nostalgia.
Right.
It's not like he ever did anything with it or ever will. And so that part of it makes sense to me. Like, if you're going to collect, at least you would collect as an investment, maybe, you know, to sell one day.
But even if you collect, I collect certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of almost like it's just the thrill of owning it. and but then you have it, and it's like, okay, let's throw it up on eBay and sell it now and buy some. What I've always told people, if you have a collectible item and you decide to sell it, fine, sell it. Mm-hmm. But don't pay your bills with the money that you get. Take that money and buy something else that you want to collect or buy something that's fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
So now we're going to segue into what everybody wants to hear Ned Stacy talk about. I mean, no. Give me a break. It's like having Little Richard in the studio and not talking about rock and roll. We got Ned Stacy. We're going to talk comic books. So let's talk about it. What got you into the comic book business? What was it about them? Was it a childhood thing that stuck with you? Was it an opportunity? Why did you choose comic books to decorate your life all these years?
Comic books was a total business decision because I had a couple of stores in Charlottesville, Virginia, at the University of Virginia. And there was one comic book store in town. My store was a record store, mm-hmm. a used record store. And when the comic book store went out of business, I thought I'd pick up some comic books just to sort of keep the comic book collectors or readers happy. And it just kept growing and growing. And finally, it took over half the store. And at some point, we decided to move to Tallahassee, and the store came with me. And for here in Tallahassee, it was half records, half comics for probably a year or so, 2 years. And then finally, I just decided, let's just go completely with comic books.
And in total, you've been around for 40 years in this business with Cosmic Cat, with the store?
Here in Tallahassee, yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually opened my first store. I opened when I was 20 years old. So it's been 46 years in the business.
Oh man. So now let's get to the meat of it. I've got two questions for you. Can you remember the most valuable comic you've ever had, and what is your favorite comic? Or is that just like asking a child her favorite kid? I mean, a mom her favorite child.
No. The most valuable comic I've probably had. I've never had a huge number of super valuable comics because, number one, Tallahassee doesn't have them. Mm. But the most was probably an Amazing Fantasy number 15, the first appearance of Spider-Man. I did have that for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And my favorite two comic books is independent comic books called Stray Bullets and Strangers in Paradise.
And I see Stav with their heads going up and down as you're saying that. So you've hit a note already. You know, and one of my questions would be the big budget film, right? It kind of exists in the realm of that permanence that we were talking about. And how does it make you feel to see those stories depict things that were so intimate to you for all of these years, which are the comic books and the stories that they're depicting?
Right. Well, the characters that originally appeared in the comic books, mm-hmm. Sometimes you like them, sometimes you don't, actually when they were in the comic book format. And now that they're in movie format, again, it works. Sometimes it works. A lot of times that, you know, they'll change the race or something like that. And half of society thinks that's great. The other half, you know, goes, why would they change, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother me much at all. And I think pretty much I like the different characters that play. I mean, Batman has been played in the movies by, what, 5 different actors or something?
6, I think.
And it's all very – and they all bring a certain difference to the character, which I like. Because you don't need to keep the same old thing cranking all the time over and over and over again. Because one thing you'll notice, like in cartoon strips – it's weird how those characters in the cartoon strips are all the same age, stay the same age for 50 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, so at some point back, a comic strip artist said, enough of this, I'm going to have my characters age. And she did that for a while, and people like that.
Yeah.
So,
you know what? This is a very interesting question for people that don't know, and that's probably a few locally, or just under a few, because a lot of people do know, you're a very talented artist as well as a comic book person. Let's talk about the juxtaposition of art, comic books, and culture. Does the fact that you can draw, just simply put, add to your love for these or take away from it?
I can be really impressed by some of the comic art that's being done by people, mm-hmm. you know. And you sort of wonder how they – I cannot fathom how a comic book artist can make a character look the same throughout an entire book, throughout an entire run of 100 books. I mean, to me, that is absolutely amazing because I could never do that as an artist. But I notice in my artwork, and people have noticed this, is that I do a lot of portraiture work. And they just – and it's – I describe it as contemporary realism because the contemporary part comes in because they sort of have a comic bookish, cartoonish look to them, which I'm – as much as I try to get away from that, I just can't shake it. So I've decided to live with it. And so, you know, the art and the comics have all sort of meshed into one big thing.
I've always said with you, with some of your artwork and portraiture nobody does eyes like Ned Stacy. The way that you depict eyes is just something unreal to me. And they're, I think, your signature. People would disagree because I'm no authority on art, but I just love the way that you paint eyes.
Well, my eyes are totally wrong, but...
See, that's what
But I know exactly what you're talking about because people have said that many times, is that it's the eyes that draw them in, and they're like, they're amazed by the eyes and the line of draw.
This next one is a two-part question for you, and I'll start it off easy. What separates the comic book from other types of ephemera, like books or newspapers or posters or whatever? What is it to you that makes them special or unique?
I guess I think the reason why comic books are unique to people is it's something they grew up as with kids. I mean, you do grow up as with books as kid as a kid. But you don't keep reading, you know, Mary Jane books or whatever books. As, you know, you advance into other books, which they don't really become collectible unless they're first editions or something like that. But with comic books, you grew up with them, and that's where it starts. You don't start reading comic books when you're older. There are the certain ages of a comic book reader and collector. It's we would have people, kids read comic books to a certain point. Then they stop, usually in high school, because it's not cool anymore to read comic books. And they get maybe into college, and it's still not cool, but they might have a roommate that reads comic books. So they start reading, picking up something here and there. But they can't really afford anything too much. And then once they get out of college, they stop reading comic books for about 15 to 20 years. They don't buy them at all. And once they have established a career, they're making money, then around the age of 40, 45, 50, then they start buying comic books again. And a lot of them will be diehards until they die, that they'll keep buying comic books.
So my next, my very next question was going to be a lot like vinyl or thrifting vintage clothes. In certain niche markets, there's been a resurgence of comic book collectors or comic books in comic book culture, I should say. And I was going to ask you what you attributed that to. But with that timeline that you just gave, I guess it would just be people picking up somewhere where they left off. Maybe it's those people who have got the money to do it now, or the people that have the college roommate who kind of buzzed or piqued their interest. It, but it has made a resurgence in very specific markets. And I would always say maybe it's because it's older and people like to do stuff that cool kids used to do.
Well, the question is it really comic book collecting and reading, or is it comic book speculating? To me, it's comic book speculating. People collect comics because before I came today, I checked eBay on these books that I brought in, and I wanted to see if the pricing that I had put on the front was still the same pricing. But what I noticed is 90%, if not more, of the books on eBay are all CGC-graded comic books.
What does that mean?
CGC-graded books are, you send them off to this company, they grade them on a very specific scale. They say this book is a 9.0 or 2.0, whatever, and they encapsulate it in plastic so it can never be read again. And then they send it back to you. And those books, for years, have sold 2 to 3 times what if I had a raw copy not CGC graded. So these books I brought in are not CGC graded. But so they're maybe a third to a half of what you'll see a CGC graded book listed at. The problem is once you see all these books CGC graded, that means these books are can't be read ever again unless someone cracks that seal. And put them in plastic cost them $40 each. So you're not going to, you know. Yeah. It makes sense to me when you do it with like Pokemon cards or trading cards because you can see both sides of the card. But with a comic book, you can't open it. And it's just basically this book is a commodity.
Yeah.
Nothing more. Or supposedly they should last forever once they're encapsulated. But I think comic book speculation has really ruined comic book collecting. It's taking these books that may not cost as much, and you're putting them in an extremely high price range, and people just can't afford them anymore.
Well, at least while we may never see the collector be the collector again in the way that they used to be,
right.
I've always had such a deep fascination with ephemera. And in the art world, which is where I exist, things like NFTs and digital art and AI are having us to have conversations very soon that not only we didn't think we were going to have, but are very uncomfortable. In closing, I'm going to say that while AI may be able to duplicate and replicate, there will never be another Ned Stacy, not to this community. We appreciate you for coming, and I appreciate all of you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.